Welcome to the most unfiltered and unbiased podcast around for the Chicago Bulls. My name is Kenyatta Wright. I'm your host, and this is my host, Greg, co-host Greg Love.
What's going on?
I'm diving, Greg, to the Bulls win over the Hornets, and you were at the game, so we should have some stories and a good podcast for our fans here.
What up, Bulls fans? I'm Greg Love, co-host of Talking Bulls. Follow us on Anchor, Spotify, YouTube. Like us, rate us, and review us. You can also follow me on Twitter, GLove89. Are you looking for the most up-to-date news on your Chicago Bulls? Get your fix right here on the home where the truth is told. Unfiltered and unbiased, the Talking Bulls podcast.
Talking Bulls can now be heard on three separate platforms. Follow us on Spotify, Anchor, and YouTube. We're back here on Talking Bulls. So the Bulls back on track with a win over the Hornets, 133-119. The Bulls' highest scoring game this year as the Bulls get back on track. The Ball brothers up against each other, you know, is the best thing about the game. And Greg, my co-host Greg, was at the game. So, you know, I'm going to let him, you know, give his thoughts mostly on the game and his thoughts.
Yeah, man. The Ball brothers matchup was something that everybody in the arena was really excited about from tip. Like, as soon as LaMelo was bringing the ball up, like, everybody was on their feet, just, like, into it. Lots of chance of Lonzo's better. And Lonzo had a better game, if I'm being honest. You can look at the stats. But he played better. It seemed like LaMelo fed a little bit more into that I'm playing my brother type rivalry. So there was.
So LaMelo had 18 and 13, right?
Yeah, he did have the 18 and 13, but like.
You think Lonzo's was more impactful?
Yeah, LaMelo's wasn't very efficient. Like he was really forcing it for stretches where, like, I think the first few possessions, like, Lonzo came down, he hit a couple threes, right? Stadium's going nuts. And, you know, LaMelo comes back and he's trying to kind of match him. Because LaMelo only went 5 for 18 total. Mm-hmm. He went 3 for 8 from 3. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, so he got 5 of those 18 points from the free throw line.
Right.
So, really not that efficient. But yeah, I think Lonzo had a better overall game, played a lot better defensively. Mm-hmm. You could tell that, you know, they were family because Lonzo was doing, you know, little stuff to annoy him. Like, mm-hmm. LaMelo gets teed up immediately after, you know, a couple plays later on the inbounds, LaMelo's still chirping at the refs, and Lonzo walks up and just kind of bumps him, right? And then just retreats back down court. So there's little stuff like that that you kind of know, like, okay, they kind of, you know, got that sibling rivalry going on. But overall, this was a great game for your boy. She went to work tonight. He was alive. You know, this is the type of game that I know he's not going to come out and put out these numbers every night, but this is the type of game where when you have a matchup, when you're playing a team that is playing smaller, that Vooch needs to go to work. This is what I kind of hope and expected him to do against Miami. Or, you know, like I said, these teams when they're playing small ball, just let Vooch do what he does. And, you know, he put up, like I said, he put up 30 points. I'm not expecting him to do this every night, right? Like, even if he put up 15 and 15, right? Like, my thing is, how impactful are those points? You know, like, we're talking deep into the shot clock. He gets, you know, the ball thrown to him at the top of the key. I need you to knock down that jumper. You know, I need you to grab that big board when we need an extra possession, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I need things from that. How impactful are you being with your scoring? And tonight, he was all of that and more.
Well, you got the better version of Vooch, because when I went to see him against the Sixers, he just looked god awful, man. Couldn't guard anybody, couldn't stop anybody from getting to the paint. They were taking turns dunking on him and laying him up. So, you know, I had a bad experience seeing Vooch in a Bulls uniform, but he got it done last night, 30 and 14. His best game. The six for six from three is what really shocked me. I didn't expect that stat. So
you and me both.
He was the player of the game on my Bullseye Facebook group. And, you know, the Bullseye Facebook fans, they agreed that he should have been a player of the game. And it was a shocker, you know, and it was a game. It was at a point that we needed it. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like it was just filled throughout the game at meaningless times. It was clutch. It was, you know, the three that put us over the top, that three that he hit at the top of the key was like, you know, gave us a little distance between us and the Hornets. But this game, I felt it showed a lot of character for the Bulls, because how many times have we seen us up in games and then blow the lead and then the team just comes all the way back and beats us? I mean, that kind of happened in the Houston game. And it happened in a couple other games this year where we lost, you know, after being up. And I felt like it was the ultimate test for the Bulls in the fourth quarter to see if they was going to fold or if they was going to pick themselves back up and go back to work like they were doing throughout the game. And they did that. And as far as I'm concerned, they passed the ultimate test. And, you know, this is something that a game that will help them moving forward. I felt like the Celtics game earlier this year, that was another character building win. You know, to be down by 19 and, you know, the game seemed like it was over and you were done and you were dead in the water. And then you just fight back and win that game. So this is like the second character win for me.
Yeah, this was a good win against a team where people are expecting them to have playoff hopes or playoff aspirations. So I think this was kind of a good little test to see how we would stack up against, you know, a team we could potentially see in the playoffs. And really in that fourth, I was really interested to see how it went, because they went on that crazy run in the third. They hit that three at the end of the quarter. Like I said, place is rocking. Mm-hmm. You go into the fourth quarter and Charlotte just comes out and hits them in the mouth. Like they start the quarter out on, I think they outscored them like 21-6. And, you know, they cut the lead down and everybody, you know, Bulls look like they're reeling. It's like, man, like we're, you know, we need to get. And to their credit, man, they came right back out and went right back at them and just put the game out of reach. It seemed like every time Charlotte wanted to try to get something going, Vooch hit a big shot. DeMar hit a big shot. You know, Zach was hitting shots.
Like everybody, they gave me a scare when they pulled it to 110 to 106. They pulled it all the way to within four. We had them down by like 20.
Yeah. That's, I mean, look at it, like, man, like I said, like Charlotte just came back and punched him in the mouth. And like I said, like, we're all kind of sitting there like, man, what is going on? Like, this is kind of the thing I was talking about, you know, stepping on people's throats when you got them down. And to be honest, this was a little bit of a weird position that the Bulls were in. Like, when we've been watching the Bulls this year, a lot of the times in the fourth quarter, like, it's been either close or they've been down a little bit, and then, you know, they go into their fourth quarter mode where they got to flip the switch on and get this furious rally. But this time they were up by 20, right? So it's like, I think they kind of took their foot off the gas, right? Like, not that, you know, Billy Donovan just cleared the bench or anything like that, but that's kind of what it appeared like. Like, they went into the fourth quarter like thinking, like, oh, this game is over. Charlotte's just going to, you know, roll over. And we're just going to walk out here with a W. And Charlotte came back to their credit and was like, nah, like, we're trying to win this game. We don't care how much we're down by. And stormed back. And the Bulls came back and was just like, nah, we're just going to put this out of reach. Like I said, Vooch came through clutch. So, you know, kudos to him, because, you know, we've been critiquing him on this show pretty hard. So it's nice that he had a good game. But, you know, I want to see this consistently from him. Like, yes, it's one good game. I'm not trying to discount it or anything, but I need to see him do this more often. Like, I need this Vooch to show up more often than not.
Well, if this Vooch shows up, we're gonna beat the hell out of teams. I got a lot of Miami Heat fans that's commenting in our chats or on the last podcast, and they're trying to tell me that the Miami Heat are better than the Bulls. Okay, if that's what you want to say, that's your opinion. I don't think anybody in the East is better than this Bulls team when they're on. And I'm when I mean on, I mean everybody's playing well. We have way more depth than Miami does. We have way more impactful players than Miami does. They have about one or two impactful players, if you want to count Adebayo. You want to count Hero, you know. I don't know, man. I just think our guys are better than their guys. You know, Lonzo Ball against Hero, who you want to take? I think I'll take Lonzo. Lonzo's more all around. DeRozan up against Jimmy Butler. I think I'll take DeRozan. You know, and DeRozan's proven that this year with his numbers. Where's Jimmy Butler at in the top scorers in the league right now? We got two of the top scorers in the game and the top five of the top scorers in the league right now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, Jimmy Butler is never going to me, he's never going to be one of the top scorers in the league. I think, like, when I look at Jimmy Butler.
He's famous because he can play both sides. That's what he
does. Yeah, the two-way player. And I kind of – the way I kind of look at Jimmy Butler, like I said, with Vooch's points, like, I think Jimmy Butler's points – end up being a little bit more impactful when he does score, when he decides to be more aggressive, his points become impactful. I think I feel like our roster is better than Miami's.
I do too.
I do feel like our roster can use some improvement, maybe improve a little bit of the rotation, maybe get Matt Thomas in there a little bit as a 3-point specialist. Yeah, that's kind of what he does, and yet we're not getting him in there. Things like that. But I think top to bottom, I believe we have a better roster. And like I said last podcast, I think we can beat Miami. We go head to head in the 7-game series. I feel like we should win. Might it go 7 games? Maybe, but I still feel like we will win.
Well, Heat fans, if you're listening, I'm gonna give you this credit. When it comes to your role players and your bench, you might have a point. I think your bench is better than ours. But when it comes to our top guys, we have 4 guys that could drop 30 consistently. Who do Miami have that can drop 30 consistently on their team? I don't see anybody on their team that can drop 30 consistently. I don't see anybody, any star on their team that's like, that has various different skills other than scoring or rebounding or one thing. It is what it is, man. I just think at the end of the day, the Bulls are going to be the best team in the East if they play their game. And we're right behind the Nets for the number one spot. And if the Nets lose tonight, I think the Bulls would tie for the first seed in the East because they'll both be 14-8. And that's a 14-7 right now. So if the Nets lose tonight to the Knicks, who I'm rooting for, they'll tie with the Bulls for first place in the East. And who picked us to be first place in the East? Nobody. You know, just like these Miami Heat fans are doubting the Bulls, it's the same talk I heard in the offseason. Oh, the Bulls are going to be a play-in. Or the Bulls are going to be this. The Bulls are going to be a joke. DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine are not going to make it work. And everything has just been the total opposite. That's why I just don't listen to people, and you should just let the games play out because everybody thinks they know everything. And, you know, one of the fans I was talking to in the chat, because I do talk to our fans. I think it's good to interact with our fans that listen to our podcast. And one of the things he was saying is, you know, he think that, you know, the Miami Heat are better than the Bulls because when was the last time the Bulls were in the finals? And if we're talking about revisionist history, you know, in the past 10 or so years, yeah, the Heat has been better than the Bulls. But we're not talking about revisionist history. We're talking about right now. I'm talking about this year, 2021. Right now, as we speak, are the Miami Heat better than the Chicago Bulls? And I say no.
Yeah, I agree, right? Like, I mean, if we're going based off of that, right? Like, we'd be looking like, oh, the Lakers should be this, and the Lakers should be that, and they're not, right? Like, that doesn't matter, right? Like you said, right now, looking in front of us and going forward, I feel like the Bulls are a better team, even despite the loss that they just had to Miami. You know, like I was saying before, 23 turnovers is very uncharacteristic of the Bulls, and it wasn't like Miami just played this staunch defense that forced them into all of those turnovers. Right. A lot of those turnovers are just bad turnovers. So the Bulls clean that up. They should win the game.
Well, you got to have nights like that because you don't want to, you know, go into every single game hiding your flaws. You know, you got to have something on the blackboard, you know. So they gave us blackboard material. We know that we turned the ball over against them. And we know next time we play against them, we know what to expect. We know what we can't do if we really want to beat them. And, you know, it'll just give us some bulletin board material, you know, to go into the next game. So I think it's good. I think it's good, you know, this early in the season. It's still early. And, you know, it's something good for us to look forward to playing them again. And I hope it's in Miami. I haven't checked the schedule, but I hope the next game we play them is in their house.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think going in and beating them in their house, I think that'll, for one, prove a point and advantage that loss, too, mm-hmm. in a big way. Like, I need them to go. I mean, I feel like I want them to go out and dominate every game, but, like, games like this, I really want them to go out and dominate to prove their point.
Well, the Bulls have pretty much this year proved to me that they could beat anybody if they show up. I mean, you take a look at the teams they've beaten, you know, the Nets, the Hornets last night, who has been hot, you know, for a while now. And then you take the Utah Jazz, who was the best team in the West at the time that we beat them. Then we took on Doncic and the Mavs and beat them at home, you know, pretty convincingly. So the Bulls have some very convincing W's under their belt, you know. So, you know, and then you go out West and then you beat both LA teams back to back, you know, games like that, games like in the Boston Garden being down 19 and winning that game. The Bulls have a lot of games this year that makes me believe, you know, then the New York Knicks and I'll see it's so many. The New York Knicks game in United Center, that was a big win. Yeah. So the Bulls have proven to me that, you know, I'm not worried about no other team, Greg. I'm worried about us doing what we're supposed to do. If we do what we're supposed to do, the chips will fall where they may, and I think it's going to be positive.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. Looking at the Bulls, and I think the biggest thing is, can they show up consistently? You know, like, it seems like part of it is them kind of getting up for these big games, right? Mm-hmm. And then when they walk into the gym against teams, like, we generally feel like they're better than and should beat. It's almost like they have that attitude, like, okay, well, we're here, so we should just beat them based off of that. And it's like, mm-hmm. like you said before, no, you got to show up every game, mm-hmm. right? You know, because, you know, we went from being kind of this little feel good story type of thing, like the way we started the season, to where, like, nah, like, teams are trying to come at us, right? Like, they're trying to play their best ball against us. Like, we are a threat. So,
and you know, another thing, it's hard to gauge where you really are as far as talent level when you don't leave it all out on the floor. Now, I don't want our players to think that they're going to win every game. You're not going to win every game just because you play hard, but it's going to show you how better you can be. It's going to show you your real level, and putting it all out there is just going to show you your real you, and it's going to show you where you need to improve. You know, the bottom line is, you have to, every single game is to sharpen and sharpen and sharpen your sword to get you more and more ready for the finals, you know, and make you a team that can play in the finals. And even if you don't get in there this year, you can say, okay, you know, we gave our all this year, but we fell short. Where can we improve at? And then you improve on that next season. But if you don't give it all out there, you never know your potential, and then you can't correct it.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think it's one of those things where it's kind of like, if you don't go out there and go all out, right? Like, you never know if you really need to improve, or it's just like, you know, I didn't try. So it's mm-hmm. not like I really, really failed, right? So, like you said, going out there, putting it all on the line. If you lose, it's like, okay, now we can go back to the drawing board, look at our flaws. Do we need to make changes on this team? Or is it just like I said before, do we need to clean up the turnovers or something like that? Do we need to close out better on shooters, right? Because mm-hmm. if that's your issue, it's not a personnel issue, right? It's like, okay, we got the team to do this. We just need to clean up these few mistakes. Or if it's like, oh, we need to add shooters, or we need to add a rebounder, then you can evaluate that and then move from there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm hoping that as the season progresses, we really get a better look at what these Bulls are going to really be and look like consistently, mm-hmm. rather than, you know, getting these kind of games where they look really bad and they look really good. Like, who are they?
Well, seeing this team with a lead in every single game, like in the Charlotte game, I mean, they went up at the half. What was it, 69-58? So they went up by 11 at the half. It was neck and neck in the first quarter leading up to that point, and then the Bulls just pulled away to end out that second quarter. And then when they came out in the second half, it was like that drought. And then Charlotte started hitting shots and battling back in the game. And then, you know, ultimately, you know, in the fourth quarter, pulled that 17-4 run on the Bulls and was able to get back within four before the Bulls put back on the Jets and then closed that game out. So basically what I'm learning from the Bulls is that when they up, they choose to hold the ball and play uncharacteristic and stop running their offense. And I would really like to sit our players down and let them watch the Golden State Warriors. Those guys never let up. They continue running their offense until the game is over. There's no, oh, we're up 20, so let's, like, you know, play a little isolation. No, keep on running your offense.
You know? Yeah, and I think that kind of goes back to what I was saying, right? Like stepping on somebody's throat. Because, you know, Golden State's like, nah, we got no problem blowing you out, right? Mm-hmm. Like at all. And I think that's kind of what the Bulls could use, that kind of mentality of, you know, we got to keep going. Or even if you're looking at it like, all right, we're up by 20, right? Like, let's run these plays, even if we're like, okay, kind of practice type thing, but make sure that we're sharp on it. Like, if you take that mentality, right, like, at least you're still going at it at full speed and still trying and putting forth that effort.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, Greg, Lonzo LaVar Ball wants all his sons to play in Chicago. There's rumors, well, not rumors, but confirmations out there that stated that he met with Arturis Karnasovas, and he discussed his three sons playing together on the same team. We're going to talk about that and discuss that right after this.
Get all your up-to-date information on the Chicago Bulls right here on Talking Bulls Podcast.
Step into the Red Target, known as the Bullseye Facebook group, consisting of over 2,300 fans, loyal, passionate fans that really care about the Bulls. Watch us post the latest news, trades, and related Bulls content. Join us on the Bullseye Facebook group.
What up, Bulls fans? I'm Greg Love, co-host of Talking Bulls. Follow us on Anchor, Spotify, YouTube. Like us, rate us, and review us. You can also follow me on Twitter, GLove89.
All right, so we're back on Talking Bulls. Greg, there was a confirmation that I had looked up of LaVar Ball talking to Arturis Karnasovas. Apparently he had a meeting with him to discuss his three sons, teaming up in Chicago to play together. Did you read that story?
I didn't read the story, but I mean, I get it, right? Like, that's the sons, he wants them to play together. I don't fault him for it. Do I think it'll work? Not really. I mean, for one...
Here it goes, the Block Club Chicago. I don't know if you've ever been on that website. And LaVar visits Chicago and says he's trying to bring all his sons to the Bulls.
Right. Yeah, I mean, what's he supposed to say?
Right.
I mean, he's been saying this, what, since before Lonzo got in the league. First it was, all my boys going to play for the Lakers. Okay, that didn't work out. Hey, so okay, now all my boys gonna play for the Bulls. Okay, I mean, for one, it's just not gonna work, because even if the Bulls are willing to do it, why would Charlotte move LaMelo? Like, they have no incentive to, especially if they're looking at him as their star, as their corner piece. Why would I move LaMelo?
And that Michael Jordan rivalry against the Chicago Bulls organization is not over. I don't understand why people think he would just give Chicago LaMelo. He's going to just give them his best piece. I don't see that happening either. It's just a, it's a hope, you know. It's just a dream for LeVar that's not going to come true. But it says he was in Chicago for his big baller grand, big baller run. He had a pop-up shop for big baller. Apparently, his line ain't doing too good, Greg. Why do you need a pop-up shop?
I didn't even know they were still doing that after that whole debacle with the guy stealing money from him.
Wasn't he charging $500 for them sneakers?
Yeah, like that was before Lonzo stepped foot on the court. Like, there was, you know, like there was no reason to buy the shoe for somebody who was unproven, like in a sense, like who didn't really come, like, you know, if you look at a LeBron James, right? Like LeBron came with that hype since high school, right? Like you had a pretty good idea of like, okay, like this guy's gonna be something, right? Like Lonzo, like, and not to take away from his play, right? Because he played well when he went to UCLA and everything, played well. But a lot of the hype itself came from LeVar. Like, LeVar was that machine getting everything going. Mm-hmm. So, if looking at it, like, from that perspective, it's like, and I think part of it is people just love to hate on other people. So, I'm not taking anything from LeVar because he was doing his thing, right? Like, he's marketing his kids. He made Big Baller Brand a known brand, right? But, like, and I get it as a startup company, or, you know, technically a small business, right? Like, you kind of need to make up that equity for what you're throwing into it. Mm-hmm. They didn't have it at the time, right? So you have to charge these exorbitant amount for shoes. But like, if we're looking at it, right, like majority of Jordans on release date don't cost that much, right? Like majority of LeBron shoes don't cost that much. So why would I pay for Lonzo's shoes for somebody who isn't an established brand yet, right? Like Lonzo came out, you know, his rookie year and just took the league by storm. All right, you might be able to get away with that, but that wasn't the case,
right? But you know, I just think the Bulls just need like a few other pieces. They don't need to totally reconstruct this team and bring in brothers. I think they just need a big man, and they need like a couple more defenders on the perimeter, veteran defenders. And I want guys that's their job, and that's it. I said that on one of the podcasts. I just want guys that specialize in a certain thing. We don't need guys that's coming here to score, make the all-star team or whatever. We already have guys that do that. We just need guys that come in here and do their jobs, man.
You need the glue guys, right? Yeah. Like the guys that know their roles and do their roles well.
Yes. And I think if they're able to get that in the offseason, which I don't see any reason why Arturas wouldn't want to do that. I mean, watching all these games, the Bulls are good. And that's scary in itself how good we are. And we don't even have all the pieces that we need. But he has to know watching this season, watching all these games, that this team lacks a big man that can defend. He has to know that. I mean, he's been around the game for a long time. He played the game himself. He was a shooter. He wasn't a defensive guy. But he has to know that these guys need a big man. He has to know that.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think looking at it, I'm encouraged by this to look at it and be like, man, like, we just need a couple of complementary pieces. Like you said, this isn't a complete teardown that we need to do and just overhaul everything. It's like, man, we just need a little tweak here and a little tweak there, and we really got something. So I think it's encouraging. And yeah, like I said, like, I'm sure he has to look at it with his basketball mind and be like, okay, I just need to do this, this, and this, right? Like, so it may be looking at the landscape during the trade deadline and seeing, okay, who is available, what's available, what can I get, what do I have to give up to get these things? Or like you said, going in the free agency next year and be like, okay, who can I get? Mm-hmm. You know, how much cash do I have to throw at them, and trying to make it work that way. But I think, you know, overall, we got some good things going right here. I think this is starting to become a wanted destination for free agents.
Yeah,
it is. That's been a huge shift in what the last 10 plus years. So,
well, I'm gonna tell you one thing before we go and head out. One thing I've been hoping for, and I've been having in the back of my mind, is the possibility that we could get Kevin Durant on this team somehow, some way. But I know we don't have the cap space to sign him, man. But just the way that he talks about the Bulls, I could see us, if it's not working in Brooklyn, that he would want to come here. I could just see that happening. And it's like, especially if we prove ourselves like we're doing now and we're right behind his team or finish ahead of them, You know, who's to say that if he's unhappy in Brooklyn, he wouldn't think, hey, look at Chicago, like, oh, I think I might want to go over there.
I mean,
these young guys.
I mean, if you're being honest, though, if you sign Kevin Durant, cap space, you'll figure it out, right? Like that. Mm-hmm. I don't even think that'll really.
So who are you gonna give up? That's my dilemma. I know we can sign them and make the numbers work some way, but who do you give up? And it's not too many guys on this team I'm really willing to give up. You know, so that's
true. You would mess with the chemistry and everything and figuring that out.
Yeah.
But I mean. I'm sure we talked about it. I'm sure you'd be willing to give up Vooch if you're Kevin Durant.
Oh, yes, I would be. I would be. Wait, I would give up Vooch, and I would give up Coby White. I mean, and listen, a lot of Bulls fans love Coby White, and I do too, but I just think
– for Kevin Durant, like
– he needs to go somewhere else.
I think Bulls fans would be willing to let that go. If it was like – if all we had to give up was Vooch and Coby White to get Kevin Durant, like
– I think he would want to play with Coby White, though, the way he talks about Coby White. I think Kevin Durant would want to play with Coby White. He's very fond of his game. But my thing is Coby needs to go to a team that he can be the man and be a shooter and be a scorer and not asked to do other things that, you know, contribute to a winning basketball team. I don't think he's ready to play for a winning team yet because – he still turns the ball over. He still makes crazy fouls. He still takes ill-advised shots. He don't shoot within the offense. He tends to go outside of the offense and just go for himself. And I'm not saying he's doing it on purpose, but he just has a habit of shooting outside of the offense and taking bad shots that we don't need. And this is, what, his second year, right? Second or third year?
Third on the team? Year. Third on the... he played a year under Boylan.
Yeah, so this is third year on the team, and it's like, dude, like, I think that's enough time for you to stop doing those kind of things. Like, you've been with us for a while, and we've been talking to you about it and saying, yo, you can't make that kind of play. Why you turn the ball over? Like, we've been talking to this guy for a while. His teammates, I'm sure they told him and you know, and tried to coach him on it and the coaching staff. And he's still making the same mistakes, man. And it's like,
you know,
after a while, dude, it's like, yo, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I keep saying this, but I think too, I think it's kind of an adjustment for him too. Like I think it's an adjustment for everybody. Like in a sense of, okay, you played under Jim Boylan your rookie year. All right, let's just scrap that. Mm-hmm. You know, last year you come in, and I think at first they expected him to play the point alongside Zach, mm-hmm. and trying to figure that out. Right, and Vooch comes along and trying to figure that out, and then you know this year Lonzo comes in, DeMar comes in. All right, like you already got Zach, you got Vooch, and Coby gets hurt, and now he's out. So there's no real type of chemistry there, right? Like trying to figure it out. And you know, Caruso comes in, like the Ayo comes in. So like you got all these new pieces. Like it's almost a brand new team for the most part, right? Like, and he wasn't really practicing with them, wasn't playing. So like he's kind of this odd man out who's coming back into this rotation. And if somebody just says to him like, hey, you know, Coby, we need you to score, right? And he's like, okay, well, that's what I'm going to try to do. And it comes off as him forcing shots and things like that. I think he also needs, and like you said, I think it's going to be them talking to him. Him really need to pull the reins back a little bit and kind of reevaluate, like, okay, I understand that I need to be the scoring punch off mm-hmm. the bench, but at the same time, I need to go about it a better way. But I think, you know, it's an adjustment. Hopefully along the season, everything starts to smooth itself out as, you know, Coby starts to get comfortable mm-hmm. with playing alongside Caruso, playing alongside Lonzo and everything like that. Hopefully it smooths itself out. But, you know, if not, like if he's just in that, I got to score. Yeah, I don't think it could potentially work for the culture that you're trying to build here.
Follow us at Talking Bulls 82 on Twitter, Bulls fans. Like and subscribe to the channel. It helps us keep on bringing you great content and help people like me and Greg further our careers and further, you know, build ourselves up and giving you great Bulls content and all that fine stuff. And thanks for joining us tonight. And the Bulls' next game is on Thursday, December 2nd against the Brooklyn Nets.
Let's get that W.
Yes. Tonight, Chicago. Go Bulls.
Go Bulls.